Hello and welcome back to the Heart Song Yoga Podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sarah. And we're back to follow on from what we hinted at and nearly got carried away with last week, and that is how to move intuitively. What does that even mean? Where do you even start with that?
I think it requires a certain amount of body awareness.
It does.
So feeling into, being able to pause and feel into your body and knowing what it wants to do right now, because it will tell you.
But if you don't have much awareness of that, where do you even start? Like, you know, because you've got a good body as a dancer, you have that. But if we bring this back to your yoga participants coming in from a busy day at work and they land in your class, and you say, now, what's your body wanting to tell you how to move? What? I got out the car, I've just raced you. Hang on, I haven't even landed yet.
Mm. Well, that's the first thing, isn't it? Mm. Right. Be present. Mm. If you are focusing still, half your mind is in the office and the other half's in the kitchen for dinner later that night and so on, it's going to be much harder to really get in touch with your body. And it's hard to do that. I was doing a yoga practice yesterday and had to keep chasing away the thoughts of the to-do list I was having to go back to. And that's the challenge with if you're doing your practice, say, in the middle of something. So if you do it at the very last thing or the very first thing, well, then it's much easier. Very first thing in the morning, nothing started yet. So it's – and like I find if I'm going to do a meditation, first thing in the morning is the best time for me because nothing's going on yet. But in the middle of the day, and it's worth trying, right? Because you'll notice how much harder it is and having to work, it's a muscle. Everything mental is a muscle. Working at it makes you better at it. Can you pause what you're doing and go, right, I'm going to go and do half an hour of yoga in the middle of my day. I'm halfway through my to-do list and be present for that. And it's so much harder than doing it at the end of the day when you're like, well, whatever I didn't get done is tomorrow's work. So now I can not think about it. And I mean, even that's hard.
But sometimes,
so it's practice. The bottom line is it's a muscle that you need to work. You need to take the moments and the time. And it might be that for a while your yoga practice is not about getting into the asanas or doing all the sequences and all that. It's just about showing up on your mat and it takes you half an hour to get into your body. That's your practice for the day.
It is. Right. That's a good place to start, because I've been reflecting on that. And this morning, Thursday mornings for me are the day when I don't have to get up early. Three mornings a week I get up really early and meet a friend and we go walking. And then the other 2 days of the working week I have the luxury of not having to get up at the alarm and I can lie in, or I can get up and do my own walk, or I try and get up and do my early morning yoga practice. And this morning I had quite a few things that I wanted to do and I found that I was racing away with the day because, one, I slept in. And then two, it's like, oh, now I've slept in. Now I've got all these things to do. And I was about to skip it. So I went into the studio. I thought, no, don't skip it. Just go in there. Get in there and be in that space. And I almost walked back out again. But then I thought, no, put some music on. See if that will get me to stay. And so I put some music on. And then I just started doing a bit of an activation. I thought, oh, if that's all I do, that'll be better than nothing. And then after I'd done the activation, I just sort of explored my body and what it felt like and just went from there, and then ended up doing some floor work, which was beneficial. But the temptation was there really strongly to, because I'd sort of got off to a late start, was, oh, hang on, no, the day's racing away. It's like you just got to stop and pull yourself back. And for me, the music did it. It was like I had to put something on just to stop it.
Yeah, so I think, you know, find those touch points for you, and it might be music, it might be a physical place you have to go to, it might be a you know, you might have a something that you hold, like a crystal or a stress ball or a, a string of beads or anything that when you're holding that thing, it, you know, your focus is on it and it reminds you to come back to being present in your body. And
it's like a cue.
And then inviting, you know, that the invitation then is to, what does my body want to do? And sometimes, and I find this especially with the busy to-do list and so on, sometimes the answer is, you know what, you're not going to relax until you cross some more stuff off the list. And so it might be that you go to the mat and you spend 5 minutes checking in with your body and you're just like, you know what, the best thing for you to do right now is to just keep going. And that's fine, but make sure.
Checked in and got an answer.
Sorry?
At least you checked in and got an answer.
Yeah, like check in and get, and that doesn't happen very often, you know, like most of the time when I do that, when I kind of pull away and go, okay, let's sort of feel into the body. What does it want to do right now? It'll be, let's go for a walk. Let's do some yoga. Let's do some dancing around the house. Let's, you know, whatever it is, let's do a relaxation. Sometimes it will be, no, right now you need to go back to the office and get that thing done. And for whatever reason, like, and I've learned to just trust that.
Yes, because you'll feel most better having done it.
Yeah, sometimes that will be the only thing that will make you feel better. And and then it's worth going back and going, okay, my practice today was just to acknowledge that. Obviously, if you find yourself doing that every day, well, then you're not quite getting there. You know, you know, at that point, you need to reassess the level of stress in your job. But, but yeah, so moving intuitively, like once you've got there, once you've got to that point where, okay, we're on the mat and we're going to stay. Or not the mat, wherever it is you happen to be practicing. What does it feel like? Assume that you've gotten in touch with your body, which is just mindfulness. It's, if you haven't done a deep relaxation, the four-stage relaxation, I'd say that's a good place to start if you're not used to it. Really sort of get used to feeling into the body parts and the tissues, and that's the awareness, I think.
It's an excellent place to start, because that is such a good process, and you can do it again and again and again, and every time you do it, you'll just notice a bit more, or you'll notice that each time you do it is different, which is true, because we land in a different place every time. So that and internal experience of checking in.
Yes. Yeah. So once you've got that, you know, you've practiced getting into the body and feeling into it, then what is intuitive movement?
Well, I've been just in this series of classes, this series, we're focusing on a technique called navel radiation, which I learned from Donna Fahey in some intensive trainings with her. And so I've revisited it and bringing it into the class, and it's really interesting exploration to come right back to. One example is, as you're standing and you go to take a couple of steps forward, so inviting you to just take a breath, stand, and then start walking. And notice, where did you lead that movement from? What led that movement? And most often it'll be the foot led that movement. I led that movement with my foot or my toes, if you want to get specific, because that's what's leading. Whereas if you then, or and the same thing, if you were then asked to take your hands above your head, what led that movement? And most commonly, it's your fingers. Your fingers are going to come up into the air. Your fingers led that movement. What if then you were invited to come back, stand again, take a breath, and now take your awareness into your navel. Now step forward from your navel. And it's a whole different experience. Lift your arms from your navel and let that movement radiate from the navel down the legs and out, up the torso, up the arms and out. And it's a whole different way of moving.
It is, and it makes you a lot stronger.
Hugely stronger.
And more aware. And, you know, if you're doing anything, say you're, you know, lifting heavy bags out of the boot or something, if you have that awareness, rather than just my hand grabs the bag and I lift it.
Like a lever, like a crane.
Start with the navel and work from there, and then that engages your core to some extent, and then you're much more likely to, one, engage the correct muscles in the first place so that you do it safely, and two, be aware of a potential injury before it happens. Like the number of times I've been either at, when I've been doing heavy work, or if I've been at the gym, and if I'm paying attention to that and I start to do a lift, I can feel before I move anything whether that's safe for me or not. And sometimes it'll be, nope, you haven't got the right grip, you haven't got the right weight, you have, you know, whatever it is, make an adjustment so that it feels good. And your body will tell you when you start paying attention from the sort of center of your body outwards, it knows before you do anything what's about to happen.
And we're coming back to very primal, early development ways of moving.
That was my other thought.
Yes.
Is it, that's how the body, the movement starts with a rotation of the spine in physiological terms. So like if you're watching you're watching any animal move, and it moves because the spine column shifts side to side. and in a three-dimensional manner, like, you know, like, how does a snake cover ground so fast with no legs? But it does.
And try and do that yourself, like if you're exploring on the floor. So what we have started doing in the classes is coming right back to having some support under the torso from your breastbone down to your torso, sort of covering the torso. And then let your head just hang off to one side, a couple of blankets, and then just start to notice your breath. And when I first get on the mat to start, depending upon what I've done to get there, but the breath will be fairly high up in the torso. And then just focus until you're belly breathing, which babies do naturally, and we lose that ability to belly breathe as a natural way of breathing. When you come back to that way of belly breathing, then begin to notice and sense how that moves you. And it's moving you from the navel outwards. And if you start then to really go with your breath and start to lengthen, sort of like a starfish. So it's also, there's that analogy of the starfish radiation. So from the core to the six limbs, the two arms, the two legs, the tail and the head. And you radiate that movement outward from lying on your belly, and it's really strengthening for all your deep back muscles and deep abdominal muscles, because you are moving from your core and engaging that first, and then it radiates out. And you can do some great exploration of then just in breath, letting you pulse up, out breath, and you extend it so your arms and legs are lifting. And then you can sort of come up into the cobra gently and let it pulse. It's like getting away from reproducing static poses. And I read an article recently from Donna Fari where she challenged the word pose, because pose is like strike a pose. There's nothing dynamic about it, to get back to what it is, an asana, where there's a seat of the movement, but they're very dynamic, even if it's just the movement of the breath. So as you come up into the cobra, like the in-breath, there's movement, and the out-breath, there's movement. You don't just hold it there, do you?
Yeah.
No. So like, let that dynamism come back. And then, you know, there's so much. I've done some really nice exploration in the last couple of weeks by starting from that place on the floor. And then if you come up and then just start to, what if you do that lateral movement through your spine from your navel? If you try and do it from your head, it just doesn't work. You just lock up. But if you can do it from that sort of, get that spine moving from the core, like your sort of movement of a snake along the ground, explore that. It's like it sounds really strange, but there's a lot to be gained by that intuitive sense of moving once you get a real feel for that, because then you can carry that into your everyday activities. Just like you mentioned, Kelly, about lifting something out of the car or picking something up, or any movements that you make, walking, when you're out walking, just check in. Oh, where am I walking from? Oh, yeah, that's right. What if I come back from walking from the core, and then see how your whole posture changes?
Yeah. All your power comes from your core, like your spine, your navel, your sort of the way everything Right, it radiates out, doesn't it? But don't, that doesn't mean ignore your fingers and toes and the top of your head. It means take that awareness all the way to
and beyond.
So if you're walking, how does it feel to engage? Start by engaging with the navel and the core, and notice how the spine twists a little, how the hips rotate first, then the leg moves forward, then, you know, the knee bends, the foot strikes out, and then notice how you roll from the heel of your foot all the way across your foot to the toes, and then back up to, you know, ankle, knee, hip, navel on the other side. It's, it's, you know, you could try some very slow motion walking, just sort of visualizing that process. It's a very complicated mechanical process.
And when you break things down like that and bring them back to start to really have that sense of moving intuitively, it brings you back to that core movement principle of noticing when you really slow something down and take your awareness in. Because quite often we're striving too much, as our conversation last week was about, that we're externally focused, and it's like your body's running away with you in trying to achieve everything. But if you can come back to center and move from that place, you come from a much more whole place and a strong place of being.
And I think also if you are looking to move quickly, like say you are trying to pursue a sport or a dance mm-hmm. or, you know, or even in, say, a yoga sequence such as EBR3 where you have the runner into thunderbolt, it's quite a rapid movement.
Mm.
You're most likely to jar and injure and tear things if you're jerking and trying to move fast. And it's that whole thing of slow is smooth and smooth is fast. And you'll notice this. Have you ever tried to unlock the door in a hurry and you just can't get the keys in your fingers and you can't get the key in the lock and you drop the key, like everything kind of fumbles and goes wrong, right? But if you take your time and you're just like slow and steady, you unlock the door far faster than if you rushed.
Mm.
And it's the same with movement. If you are aware of the whole process and you can do it slowly with mindfulness, then speeding it up is no stress.
Exactly.
You know, because you have that smoothness that comes from moving slowly and with mindfulness and awareness and that will allow you to move more quickly. Trying to do something fast right from the get-go without understanding all of the mechanics behind it and appreciating that will often just lead to sort of jerky, fumbled movements, and that's when injury happens.
And that's when injury happens. And it's the same when we think of following a teacher and reproducing a shape that we're watching. It's not that simple, you know. It's like you can't push and pull yourself into shape. It has to come from within. It has to emerge from within, and then you'll find your version of that works for you, as opposed to trying to copy someone else and pull a muscle.
Yeah, and I think also you watch someone dancing and you can find examples of this on the internet. Like people can be doing the most, like what appears to be incredibly complex movement. And then you can watch a video of someone who is in their heart and they might be doing something very simple, but it's just so joyful to watch.
Mm.
So, you know, the aesthetics of it mean nothing. It's, you know, how flexible you are, how fast you are, how many complicated shapes you can make on your yoga mat mean nothing compared to how mindfully or how present and intuitive you can be when you're moving. And watching somebody stand in Tadasana in a sort of seat of power is going to be so much more compelling than watching someone execute the perfect like back bend or something if they're not moving from that same place. So to claim your own power back, your body is as compelling as anybody else's, no matter what its range of motion.
Yeah, it is. And it is taking your power back and coming from that place of intuitive movement. So hopefully that's given some food for thought and inspired you to go away and notice how you move. Where's that movement initiated from? And this is a topic that goes quite deep.
Yes.
So we could go further with this, and maybe next week we can carry on and talk about going even deeper to move from other places from within.
Indeed. We will see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.